Chuck Chat Freestyle for Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. Dog Days of Podcasting, whatever day it is, who knows? Well, as promised, I'm continuing on the Silicon Road, and we get up to 1982. My dad had a family business. He worked full-time at the university where I enrolled later, after this 1982 series. So I got a little discount on books and tuition. And lived at home, had a fairly cheap college experience, but I'm not up to that point yet. I think we're still in my senior year if it was 1982. We needed a computer to run the family business. We owned a scuba and ski shop. We sold scuba equipment and did lessons and whatnot. And we did most of the lessons over the winter. And in the winter, we also sold ski equipment. We lived near Marquette Mountain, which is a downhill ski hill, not very large, but community was there to support. Anyway, we also ran a scuba diving charter business in the summer months between Memorial Day and end of September. My dad needed a way to keep track of customers when they booked, the whole scheduling thing for the weekends, and when we were overbooked, when we were underbooked, and correspondences with them. So he bought a computer. I really, really wanted him to get an Apple because that's the platform I knew. But we looked around at a few businesses and ended up getting a K-Pro 2. This is a 64K CPM machine. Oh boy, CPM kind of predates DOS. If you've ever used the DOS command line, you'll know what fun this is. Take it back about a few years in computer technology terms, feels like a few generations, and you will get CPM. None of the commands, well, maybe a couple of commands were the same. We had two full-height floppy drives, a 9-inch green screen. This is a quote-unquote portable computer. It's about the size of a carry-on suitcase these days. Might not fit in an overhead if I tried to travel with this baby. It was heavy. I'm thinking about 30, 35 pounds. It was metal. Unlike some of the later portables, like the Compact Portable, Portable 2, the IBM Luggable, that were plastic and had somewhat rounded corners, this sucker had sharp corners. So if you banged your knee on it, you'd know about it for a couple of weeks. The interesting features at the time was the software. It had a suite of software. Along with WordStar, which predates WordPerfect, which predates Microsoft Word, WordStar was kind of like the premier word processor of the day. It was a very meta character driven program or word processor. So if you wanted bold, you type Control K, Control B, and you saw that B on the screen. It was, if you remember WordPerfect and you needed to reveal codes, that's kind of what WordStar was like all the time. It was not even close to a WYSIWYG processor. That was still years off. But the suite that it had, Perfect Calc, Perfect Base, Perfect Writer, and I think there were some others. They were integrated. And Perfect Calc, I remember, actually had a feature that wouldn't come along for at least 10 years down the road, that it had dynamic linking in the spreadsheet. You could create multiple sheets, and the figures from one would carry over to the other. That was unheard of in Lotus 1-2-3, in the early versions of Excel, and it was very innovative and very useful for what we used it for. And you could tie the spreadsheet into the database, and you could tie the database into the word processor, do your mail merges and whatnot. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Of course, we had a daisy wheel printer with, I think, two wheels. I don't remember what the fonts were. I can see them, but I can't remember what the names were. One was obviously Courier, and the other was not a Helvetica, but something like that. It was a sans serif font. And that thing would just clatter. We'd let that sucker run in the back room of the shop for, you know, to print out 40 letters to our students and customers and whatnot. Boy, those babies would just get warm. And also played a number of games. This thing was all text-based. I remember one called Ladder. Bit of a kind of a load runner kind of game where you ran around and things were falling on your head and you had to jump over the other things and climb ladders. But it was all ASCII based. So, and if you're running right, it was a P. If you're running backwards, it was a Q. I think it had arrow keys, but I couldn't be, it might have been one of those AZ, you know, comma dot things where you just put your hands on the right keys on the keyboard to drive which direction you wanted to run. Played many, many days of playing Ladder. I think it had a snake game and several others that were kind of fun. And yes, like other things I've told you before, I have this computer as well. It sits down in the basement. One of these days, if Craig ever gets up tomorrow, up to Appleton, we're going to tear this apart and do a photo breakdown of it. It's going to be the sad end to a 30-year-old machine, but I want to see what's in here. What chipsets, what copyrights are on there? Was it TI or NEC? And hopefully not blow ourselves up on any you know, CRTs or anything that are in there. So that is the K-Pro 2. Long live CPM. I should say this was actually, I used it as a terminal. And I'll be doggone, right over there on the shelf, I have the modem that I used later when I'll get into bulletin boards and whatnot. But this is a terminal that I used with a CPM program to tie into bulletin boards and whatnot. And the pocket modem, the MyGent pocket modem, bright red, was kind of cool because you could use it without a power source. It had a 9-volt battery slot in it, and you could hook it up to any DB25 serial port, which the CPM machine had. The hardest part was finding a comms program for it, which I believe we used MEX, the modem executive program. And hey, it worked. For the longest time, I could do my job from just about anywhere with a keyboard and a serial port and a terminal. And this was my terminal for a long time. So until next time, 101.